Would you turn with me to Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15? In light of the fact that it is this Thursday, National Day of Prayer, I want to talk to you about prayer today. I want to talk to you about prayer. Also, in light of the fact that the last 2 weeks prior, we talked about the power that is available to us in Christ. Remember? The power of the resurrection? Okay. Well, prayerlessness makes powerlessness. Prayer makes power. If we are a praying people, we are a powerful people in Christ. When we are not praying, we go from being powerful to pitiful. We are a pitiful people if we are not willing to humble ourselves and pray to our God. So we're going to explore this a little bit today. I don't have a real long message. Who knows? We might even get done a few minutes early. That'd be a novel thing, wouldn't it? Especially since I'm sporting no belt today. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. These are all Jesus' words. If you have a red letter version of the Bible, they are in red. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven your debtors, our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And we just pray in Jesus' name that as we look into your word today, that you will open our hearts and open our minds and make them fruitful, Lord God, that we will understand more about prayer, more about talking to you and listening to you. Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you ordained for this morning, not a word more, a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you wanted someone to teach you to play golf or tennis, wouldn't you choose someone who is good at the sport that you want to take up? Isn't that true? My coach years ago, John Prince is here, was his dad. He used to, I remember him telling me, if you want to get better at a sport, you play that sport with someone that's better at it than you. If you play with someone that is at equal level with you or at a lower level than you, you will not ever get better. So, with that in mind, the same goes for prayer. If you want to get a better prayer life, why not go to someone who excels at the ministry of prayer? Also, why not look in God's Word at what Jesus had to say about prayer, which is what we're doing, right? One of the topics Jesus taught on in the Sermon on the Mount was prayer. So let's look together at what Jesus had to say in this teaching on the Mount. First of all, verses 5 and 6, I'm going to reread those. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Okay, so let's pick those verses apart. First of all, first major point, prayer should be addressed to God, not man. Prayer is addressed to God. This is not a rejection. These verses are not a rejection of public prayer. Please understand that. There are people that think, well, it says there not to do that. Well, what he is rebuking is the religious people of the day wanted to be seen and make a name for themselves. So they would stand up and look, put on their most pious look in the synagogue, and they would stand for hours and ramble. There was nothing spiritual in it. They were drawing attention to themselves instead of pointing people to God. That is the issue that Jesus was dealing with in this. And so, when we are in corporate prayer, we should be seeking after God with all our heart. And that really doesn't matter when we are praying in public what the people around us think. Because we are praying to God and not to man. When I pray, I'm not praying to please anyone else. When I'm allowing the Spirit of God to move me in prayer, I'm communing with my God, and I'm interceding for someone, or I'm praying for something for myself, or I'm praying for our nation. It's me and God. Whether I'm by myself or whether I'm in a group, it's me and God. And that's what God wants. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to try to make a name for ourselves, draw attention to ourselves. But even when we are corporately praying, it's you and God. Even in the midst of a whole group of people, it's you and God in prayer. We see clearly that Jesus prayed publicly too. The Lord's Prayer was a public prayer. It does mean that we must always remember who we are addressing. Prayer time is not a time to try to impress people, but it's a time to communicate with God. How many of you know what I'm talking about? No names, please. Have you ever seen people that have just tried to impress other people in prayer? So have I. Many, many times. More times than should be. I mean, over the years, I have seen many, many times the pride would come in. And if you've done much study on prayer, you know that those prayers don't hit the mark. Those prayers come from a heart that is not pure, and those prayers do not hit the mark. Those prayers are only words. True prayer is communion with God. Never forget that, guys. True prayer is communion with God. That means we not only speak, but we take the time to sit before the Lord and listen. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. It's not an accident that God gave us one mouth and two ears. I think we're supposed to spend as much as twice as much time listening as we are speaking to God. Prayer is also listening. If we are talking all the time to God and not taking the time to listen, then how are we going to hear what God has to say in return to us? Communion is a two-way street, right? Amen. A little boy got confused saying the Lord's Prayer one time. Instead of saying, "Hallowed be thy name," he said, "Harold be thy name." That's cute. If we talk to be heard by men, they will hear, but God will not. If we talk to be heard by men, to impress people, they'll hear us, but God won't. You see, there are, throughout the Word of God, conditions for answered prayer. We're told that if we don't ask in faith, that we'll not receive anything that we ask for. Isn't that true? What's faith? Believing that you're going to have what you ask for. Right? Second major point. Prayer is measured by sincerity, not multiplication of words. Verses 7 and 8 of our text. Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Okay? Now these are Jesus' words. That statement is not meant to discourage anyone from persistence. Jesus recommended persistence. So, but again, He's addressing the fact that from a heart that is wrong, the babbling that is going on will not assure answered prayer any more than a shorter prayer that is sincere. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus said it in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." Okay, so ask, seek, and knock, that pretty much tells me that we are fine asking more than once. We're fine asking more than twice. We're fine asking more than three times if we have to. God loves persistence in prayer, but the key is the heart. The key is what's going on in the heart. Are we interceding for someone and we are grieved for them because what they are going through is catastrophic? Maybe they're terminal with cancer. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's someone that's got a horrible relational problem that's going on. Maybe it's a marriage and we're pressing in. We love them. We want to see them make it through and we're praying for them. What God looks at is the heart, not the multiplication of the words, but our love for them, our love for God, and our desire to see God intervene and do a work in the midst of that situation. That's a heart that's pure. God wants a pure heart, approaching Him humbly with a pure heart, really caring for someone. Not just praying this or that because we want to see a miracle and then can go to somebody and say, "I prayed for that." Somebody know what I'm talking about? Because that's not it. If we got anything to say about it, it's praise God. Because as I've told you guys many times, if you've been around here a while, you've heard me say this. If God has done anything through you, don't ever forget that it was God. Because if we ever think that we have something to do with it, we're headed down the path that leads to destruction. Because what happens is that comes from pride, and pride goes before the fall, according to the Word of God. Sincerity is the opposite of empty repetition. Sincerity. Genuinely care for someone. My cousin Mary down here. She's been going through it, haven't you? When I pray for you, I mean it. Because I love you. And that goes for anybody else here. Sincerity, guys. Sincerity. Not words that would draw attention to us. The Pharisees stood in there in the temple and stood for hours and prayed words over and over and over. And that's the thing that Jesus despised. It rejects the notion that the best prayers are the longest prayers. You know, when I look over the last 39 years that I've been walking with Jesus and the many catastrophic things that have happened in our lives, we've not had an easy life, guys. We've had to go through some stuff, just like you have, okay? We've been through some stuff. When I had that incurable disease and was in that research project in Iowa City years ago, no cure for it. And I was I had to make trips all the time to Iowa City, and I was still trying to run my business and doing that part-time, and I was sick. I couldn't breathe. 27% of my lungs were scarred beyond repair already, and I couldn't breathe. When I would bend over into a vehicle to work on it, I couldn't breathe because I had this mass here between my lungs. And I would have to stand up and breathe and then bend over and work. But you see, I had little kids at home. I had a wife at home. And I was the breadwinner. So I had to do what I had to do. And I went home one night, and I was really feeling lousy. And I laid down on the couch. And nobody else was home. One of the kids had something, and my wife was at that. And I got home late from work like usual. And I prayed a short prayer out of desperation. I said, "Lord, I don't feel good. I've been believing that you can heal me all along because I know you can. And I don't know why you haven't healed me yet, but you must have some reason. But Lord, I'm pleading now. Will you heal me? Because I can't take it. I'm to the end of myself." And at that point, within seconds, as I lay on my couch, tears running down my face, kind of like they are now, reliving this, telling you, the presence of God overshadowed me as I lay on that couch. I felt His presence, and a warmth went through my body. And I took the first deep breath of air in my lungs that I had had in 2 years. And I knew I got my healing. Now, I didn't pray some spiritual prayer. I prayed out of desperation, guys, and it was a short prayer. And that was when God healed me. Now, don't form a doctrine out of that. If I want to get healed, I got to make sure I don't pray too long. Or don't make a doubt. My point is this. I was sincere because I was probably the most desperate I've ever been in my life. I couldn't go on like that anymore. Desperation brings sincerity. Amen?
Amen.
That was when I got healed. I remember my wife came home with the kids, and I was almost bouncing off the walls. I said, "I got healed! I got my healing!" went out for my next appointment in Iowa City, walked into the research center that was researching the disease I had, sarcoidosis. I walked in there, walked up to the desk, and I said, "Well, we're about to have an interesting day because I got my miracle. I'm healed." And they looked at me like deer in headlights and said, there were two nurses behind the desk at the time, and they looked at me, and I'd been out there so much, we were on first name basis. You know? And they looked at me and said, "That's really great. We're really glad you got a positive attitude." Wrong thing to obey. Wrong thing to say to a man that's full of the Holy Ghost and just got healed by a mighty and awesome God. I said, this isn't about positive thinking. It's about relationship with Jesus Christ. And my Lord and Savior healed me, and you're about to find out. And they ran me through the whole battery of tests. And no matter where they looked, they couldn't find sarcoidosis. They did a complete panel of chest x-rays. Then they sent me for a CT, and I had a CAT scan, and they did that. And at the end of it all, Dr. Helmers and Chuck Dayton, the two people that were in charge of the research project in Iowa City, met with me and said, "We don't understand it. We can't find anything. Your breathing patterns are now 30% better than what a person your height, your weight, your age would normally be. You are breathing 30% better than them." I said, "That's my Jesus." They said, "Well, we don't understand this at all because we have a file on you from all your trips here. We have files with x-rays and CTs that we could see that 27% of your lungs were scarred, and we can't even find the scar tissue. Even God even healed the scar tissue in my lungs that was ruined, that ruined my lungs." So they had me come back one more time. They ran their tests. And they shook their heads. And they said, "Well, we're not getting any research from you anymore because it doesn't appear there's any active sarcoidosis in your body. So we're going to cut you loose from the research program. But if you have any problem, and you probably will, you get back with us." I said, "I won't be back." And I haven't been. See, that's the God that we're praying to. Are you on a first name basis with him? See, he's a mighty God. And it's not the multiplication of the words that we speak. It's from the sincerity of our heart that touches his heart. Are you desperate? Cry out to him. He is a God that answers prayer. Well, I didn't know I was going to share all that today. The Holy Ghost led me. Raise your hand if you needed to hear that today. Praise God. Well, God knows what he's doing. He knows what we need. Amen? Amen. Third major point. Prayer should follow Jesus' pattern, not our preferences. Prayer should follow Jesus' pattern, not our preferences. In verses 9 through 13 of our text, that's come to be known as the Lord's Prayer, we see that we should always try to approach God with praise first and foremost. Praise Him for who He is. Approach God in prayer. Praise Him for who He is. Tell Him how much you love Him. Tell Him how thankful you are that He loves you, because He does. He loves you, and 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 you. We must always have respect for our God's names. God has many names, right? One God, many names. Need to have respect for His name. Don't take the Lord's name in vain on Monday and expect a miracle on Tuesday. Listen to what I'm telling you. He says in His word that He will not hold anyone guiltless that uses His name in vain. Listen, before I got saved, I was a potty mouth. I'm being honest with you. And I'm going to be honest again. There are times where there are still things that come out of my mouth that I'm not proud of. But when I got born again, I thank God that He erased the me taking the Lord's name in vain. To the best of my knowledge, this is absolute truth. Ever since over 39 years ago, I invited Jesus Christ to come into my life and take over my life, I have not had the Lord's name in vain come out of my mouth since then. Now, I already admitted there's other things that have come out of my mouth that I am surely not proud of and had to repent for. Okay, I'm being real. All right? But taking the Lord's name in vain, He erased it out of my vocabulary. You need to understand, before I got saved, I did that with no regard for anything. It just came out of me like, I was raised in a home like that. My dad was like that. He could weave swear words like a tapestry. That's what I grew up in. We must possess a commitment to God's kingdom. Are you committed to God's kingdom? We must maintain a submission to God's will. What we're talking about when I give you these phrases is verse 10. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Not my kingdom build, my will be done. See, that's what nature does. That's what humanity does. That's the agenda of humanity in the earth, isn't it? My will be done. My kingdom build. Jesus said, pray to the Lord, saying, proclaiming Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. That's a prayer that God will answer. Our petitions are important, but should come second. Our petitions are important, but they should always come second. What did I say? It should come first. Approach God in praise. All right? Approach God in praise. Also, we need to remember to repent. praying and interceding without repenting. In other words, if we do that with unconfessed sin in our lives, that can be a hindrance to answered prayer. Am I making sense to you? Confessing our sins on a regular basis, repenting, is a very, very important part of our lives. Because listen, let's be honest. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 tells us that, and God's word is true. So we repent and petition for the pardon of our sins, approaching Him with brokenness, sorrow for our sins, and not just saying, I'm sorry, but saying, Lord, give me the strength to turn from them. Give me the strength to change direction. That's what true repentance is. I'm sorry doesn't get it without a commitment to a change of direction. If we break that down into our relationships, how long does it go with a husband and wife, for example, if one or the other keeps committing the same thing and coming back and saying, I'm sorry, but nothing ever changes? How well is that relationship? How healthy is that relationship? It's not, is it? Then why would we think if we live that way with our God that we would have a healthy relationship and be in good standing with Him? I had someone years ago that came to me and they caught me on the wrong day. I was pretty feisty. They said, well, I quit praying because God don't answer my prayers anyway. And I knew this person pretty well. So I knew how they were living their life. And I looked at him and I said, how about instead of quitting praying and saying God don't answer my prayers anyway, how about if you change the way that you live your life and get it parallel with what God requires in His Word, and then you'll see your prayers get answered. That was when I was down in my shop, before I was ever a pastor. I was standing in my shop and had that conversation with a person standing in my shop. And I still remember that to this day, because they looked at me like I had lobsters crawling out of my ears. Couldn't believe I would say something like that to him. I was trying to help him. We petition God for our daily needs. We should be. The devil has told a lot of people, I know this from experience in talking with a lot of people, there are some people that don't pray for their own personal needs because they think that's selfish. The devil's a liar, and it was the devil that told you that. We are supposed to pray for our own daily needs as well. That is not selfish, that's just smart. We see that in verse 11. In the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us today our daily bread. Is that praying for our daily needs, or am I missing something? We petition God for the promise of future guidance. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Direction. It says elsewhere in the Word that there's There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to destruction. Boy, did I live that before I met Jesus. And even since then, when I've made some wrong decisions, can raise your hand if you can witness to what I'm saying. Man, it goes bad when we make decisions in our own strength and didn't wait for God to answer and, you know, pray and ask and wait. Wait for the answer. That's the hard part. Sometimes He don't answer right away and we get impatient. But Lord, I want this. Yeah. Wait. Wait. Prayer should affect our behavior. This is the fourth major point. Prayer should affect our behavior, not just our mood. Prayer many times makes us feel better, but that should not be our motivation. Don't you feel better after you spend some time in prayer? Especially when you start out praising God. You're going to prayer. Makes you at least emotionally feel better for a while. Especially if you're praying in the Spirit. One of the advantages of being baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the gift of tongues, is when I don't know what to pray, I just pray the Lord give me the utterance, and He gives me utterance in tongues, and I know I'm praying in God's will then, because it's Him that has taken over. Thank God for that. Prayer should also affect the way we relate to other people. Forgiveness being the first thing. Forgiveness. I was listening to a pastor this morning when I was getting ready. And he said, one way you know if you have forgiven someone is if you see them or someone brings up their name, you no longer have malice toward them. If there's still something in you when you hear their name or you see that person, if there's still something in you that would you'd really like to see them harmed, I haven't forgiven them yet. I'm preaching to myself here because I got a problem with that. I'm being honest. I've struggled with that all my life. It's a hard one. Someone hurts you very deeply, it's hard to just let go of that, isn't it? But Jesus said, let it go. Let it go. Forgive. And ironically, it's the people that are closest to you that can hurt you the worst. It's not strangers that hurt you so deep. It's the ones that are the closest to you. Bill Moyers, who had previously studied for the ministry, worked in Lyndon Johnson's White House. At one of the meals, he was asked to say grace. He spoke so softly when he was praying that the boisterous President Johnson said, "Speak up, Bill, I can't hear you." To which Moyers replied, "Mr. President, I wasn't speaking to you." True story. I really like that. That's cool. But when we are corporately together, for example, when we're here together and praying and scattered around, I like to be able to hear what the different people are praying. I want them to speak up because I want to hear it so that I can be in agreement with them, so that I can align my faith with them. Am I making sense to you? So there's a time for both. I think that's pretty cool how he dealt with the boisterous Lyndon Johnson. Mr. President, I wasn't speaking to you. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall in there. Okay, so are you ready? You're ready to get in prayer, guys, this week? I mean, I hope you're praying all the time, but this week is a day, a Thursday, set apart for National Day of Prayer. Let's, if you can't come Thursday night, fine, but please, Thursday, set a time aside for prayer. If you can't be here, but pray for our nation. Our nation needs our prayers. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together, if you will. Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for the avenue of prayer that we have. You're never too busy. You're never on vacation. You're never taking a nap. You are always, always, always there when we cry out to you in sincerity. Help us to be humble, to be sincere, and to be prayerful. So that, Lord, we would be a powerful people, which is what you designed us to be. As we leave this place, I pray you would seal this word in our hearts today, that we would be mindful of prayer and mindful that Lord, we are talking to you when we pray, not anyone else. We give you praise now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.